Hello and welcome to the I Can Do podcast with Benjamin Lee. We're here to talk about tips and strategies to have an I Can Do mindset. Life is what you put into it. Get the most you can. Here's your host, Benjamin Lee.
All right. Hello and welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of I Can Do. Really excited today. We have a new guest on the show, Coach Jessie, and we're going to get started here in just a minute. But I want to share her bio, and this will help you to get to know her a little bit more. And we'll dive into some questions after this. So Jessie is a Boston qualifying runner who's on a journey to complete a marathon in all 50 states, which really began to visit friends and travel. And since beginning, she's completed 24 marathons in 22 states, along with multiple 5Ks, 10Ks, and half marathons. She has also had her experience as a triathlete, completing many sprint and Olympic distant triathlons, along with a half Ironman. Her motivation has allowed her to self-coach herself to PRs after reading multiple running books before finally deciding to get her running coach certification in 2021, RRCA, to be able to help other runners improve their running and find a thrill as well. Her current PRs are a 19-minute, 32-second 5K, 1.5 hours half marathon, and 3 hours, 13-minute marathon. That's pretty impressive. Jessie's coaching philosophy is to make running fun while working hard to reach our goals. A lot goes into having a good training block, including building up the aerobic base through easy running, but also including speed work and longer runs based on the race distance, goals, and experience. To be a well-rounded runner, she values the importance of also including strength training and mobility work to improve performance, and as a way to prehab to help avoid potential injuries. She can relate to having fully scheduled days and limited time to help provide ways to fit running into our lives in an enjoyable way while giving feedback and support throughout training. Not having left the Metro Detroit area in Michigan all of her life, she received her bachelor's and master's degree in 2011 and 12 in civil engineering at the University of Michigan, and works as a transmission line engineer at a utility company. She's married to a physical therapist who runs his own clinic, a mom of two kids, a boy and a girl, and has a dog who joins her in a lot of her runs. Outside of running, working, and trying to stay on top of the family activities, she likes cozying up to read a book or to watch TV shows, all things Disney, traveling, getting ice cream, and spending time with friends and family. That is a pretty awesome bio. That's a workout right there. Just thinking about everything that you're doing. Excellent job. Excellent work. Jessie, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you for being here. You had posted something on your Instagram page about ask me any questions. So I think this was last week or a couple of weeks ago. And I saw this. I'm training for a marathon. And so I've been following more people who are running and things like that. So I jotted a couple of questions or typed out a couple of questions. And then my last question was, would you like to be on the podcast? And you said yes. So I really appreciate you being on the show. You have done so much. And we talked right before I hit the record button. I asked you if you got your workout in. You're like, yes, you ran 5 miles this morning. What got you on this journey of running marathons? And I'm really interested in running marathons in every state. How did this happen? Where did this all come from?
So I honestly didn't start running until college because I just played soccer and field hockey in high school. Running was punishment, but getting to college without organized sports, I need something to stay in shape. I did have a roommate ask me to do the Detroit half marathon 1 year. So decided to get into it, figuring out training, how to go about that. But the thing with Detroit is you need a passport because you run into Canada and then come back through the tunnel, which is a cool race, but she didn't have her passport updated. So I had to go alone. But after that, I totally enjoyed it. I decided to do the Detroit Marathon And that was, I just graduated college and my friends all moved everywhere. So I thought it'd be a perfect opportunity to at least go visit them and tie it along with a marathon. Yeah. I like active vacation as it is. I've never been a really good beach goer. Yeah. So started looping in marathons when I was visiting them.
Wow. How much time did you have to prepare before you did that first one?
I took a good 7 months for the first one. I mean, I was running, not necessarily marathon focused, but I think it was a good 7 months where I'm like, okay, I need to start building more miles and getting used to that.
Did you just kind of figure it out on your own, or did you have some kind of, was that when you first started reading books, or were you just trying to say, okay, I'm just going to get up every morning and try to improve?
I mean, I started with the classic, like online, I'll Google a free plan to do it. And I was reading books and trying to figure out what I needed to do, what all was involved with it. There were definitely a lot of lessons learned with my first one.
What were some of those lessons, if I can ask?
Don't eat 3 apples the day before your marathon. Do not do that. Too much fiber. That was probably a big one. Carbs. Always carbs. And that required 3 bathroom stops in the first one. So there's tips for your first one as well.
Yes, thank you for that. I will not eat 3 apples. Oh, that's awesome. So can I ask, what was your time for your very first marathon?
My first one was a 3:24.
Wow. That is amazing. So what year was that then?
I did that in 2011.
Okay. All right. So it's just been a little bit over a decade. So when did running change for you? You played some sports in college. When did it start changing from like punishment to enjoyment? Was it during that training for the first marathon, or did it take a couple of go arounds to really say, no, I love this?
I'll be honest, it took a couple of cycles. At first, it was more like, well, I need to stay in shape. I don't want to get the freshman 15 when you start college and all that. And then you get downward spiral, like, well, I feel like I should lose some more weight or something. So it was more, I guess, exercise, I guess, in a way, still punishment to stay in shape. But then after like the first marathon, I'm like, oh, like, I feel like I could do better. Like, what things can I improve? And then you have like, then you start getting into goals when you're realize like, okay, this was fun. I didn't die on my first one. But it soon became more fun once I actually learned more of the science and better ways to do it. Because that first one did hurt a lot. But
did you hit the wall on that first one?
I did. And it took a lot of mental strength to push through. So I hope you have a good mantra. I recommend that.
Like, yeah, I need that.
And what fueling, I think I could have done better with fueling. I think fueling would have also made a bigger difference.
So let me ask you a couple of questions about that. Explain what hitting the wall is, and then when did you hit it, and what was your mantra?
So hitting the wall is when like your body is just depleted of like your glycogen, because usually you can carry about like 2,000 calories of energy, like for getting the beginning of the run, like say you don't fuel. So usually they say the wall can be hit around mile 18 to 22. Cause that's usually, so if you don't take anything during your run, like then you're completely depleted. You don't have really the energy to keep going. But if you're not fueling yourself well enough, like early and often to keep up on that, that's when you can hit the wall, or obviously mental or weather. Your body starts aching can be an issue, especially if it's hot and you don't take electrolytes as well. Like you need the sodium for the muscles. So there's a lot of factors that can go into hitting the wall, but mine was definitely under fueling for the race for that. And so mine was actually right around mile 20. And just in my head, I had a soccer coach back in high school and who just always would yell at us to push it. She'd make us do like speed work for running and a lot of punishment and sprints. And I just pictured her yelling at me during this race to push it. I'm like, I got to get this done, or I'm going to have to keep running. I need to finish.
Yeah.
And I got it done.
That is awesome. Yeah. That's something I'm trying to figure out too, Jesse, with, you know, I ran cross country in high school. So the fastest 3 mile that I had was 1806. And I wish I knew
that's
more.
Amazing.
I don't, and I look back and I'm like, I wish I could run that today. Like if I could run that today, like I was disappointed with that, I think a little bit, because I could never break, I could never break 18. And there were freshmen who were running sub 15 3 mile races. And I was like, this is unbelievable. Yeah, I know. Like, where is this coming from? But I didn't really understand a lot about nutrition and fueling. I was always nervous before I ran. And then it caused me to go to the bathroom. This may be too much information, but I was always nervous. And so it's just something like that. So even now, like if I'm lifting weights, I'll have a protein shake or something like that, just with protein and no carbs. But I think I still have that mentality when I'm running. You know, I like to run like on an empty stomach, which is still challenging too, as the distances, you know, get further and further out. So that's something I've been trying to figure out and, you know, nail down. And, you know, I'm running in my neighborhood for the most part, and I'm still coming back for bathroom breaks. And I'm just trying to figure out how to time all of this. Did you get coaching after like that first one, or how did you keep growing or decreasing your time? You started with a 324, you're down to a 313. Walk us through that process.
So I didn't honestly get a coach until 2022. So like over a year ago at this point. Yeah. Obviously COVID and having kids, it kind of stalled things, but I just started reading a lot of books, doing my own research. And I've always loved putting training plans together. So I would like pick and choose. I'm like, oh, I think this will be beneficial. Maybe if I do a bit more speed work, because all at the beginning, we're just like same pace runs kind of thing. I'm just, all right, go out quickly, get this done. My plan says 4 miles. I'm going to run this 4 miles out, or my long run, just go do 15 miles. So there really wasn't any structure within the runs. So as soon as I did more research and felt like I could handle maybe some speed work or speed work in my long runs, I started dabbling in what I could do and making changes to the training. But with that, I think sometimes it was too much and I would end up injured. So it was a fine balance between what my body could handle or what I wanted to do. So that was also a lot of learning. But yeah, so 2022, I finally got a coach, like after COVID and kids. I wasn't at times that I wanted. It took me a lot longer to come back to my paces after kids. And I was just plateaued. I was like, something has to change. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. So that's when I actually got a coach. And I think that helped having someone else looking in at my training. Because you can get particular on yours and maybe slack or something. Like, oh, I'm not feeling this today. I can just push it off. But when you have someone else like checking your workouts, asking how things are going, then you're a bit more dedicated to get your work done. I do feel like that made a difference once I finally got my own coach. So
yeah. So there's something about, I certainly believe in the power of coaching as well, having some kind of accountability, you know, just checking in and getting that constant feedback. And that's really what coaching is all about, bridging the gap or narrowing that gap to get to the goals that we've set up even faster. Talk to me a little bit about, and to the audience, you've shared how you got into running. You've done different distances. What's the furthest that you've run so far in your life?
So far, it's just the marathon. Don't get me wrong, I thought about an ultra, but I feel like that's a whole different level of crazy and mileage and time. Maybe one day, but I feel like I got to knock off all these states before I can
take
the time to sit back and do an ultra.
Yeah. So you said you like setting everything up with races and things like that. So has it taken you, if you started running like in 2011, taking you 12 years to hit 22 states? Is that right?
Yes.
Do you have a goal for how long you want to allow this to take place before you hit all 50 states?
I mean, originally I wanted to finish by age 50, so I'm 34 right now.
Okay.
So I need to pick up the pace.
You got plenty of time. No, you got plenty of time.
So I'm hoping to get back on a schedule of doing at least two a year. I mean, for a while I was probably doing too many marathons in 1 year, but I'm hoping to get back at least on that schedule and I can crank out the rest.
What's the most you've done in 1 year?
I did 5 marathons in 1 year.
Wow.
So
how did that happen? And what was the, you know, how did your body react? And did you get burned out? Walk us through all of that.
I did. It was a lot. I feel like the beginning of the year, I felt fine. I think I had like a January, then a June marathon that year. So those felt great. Like they were good. It was also a year, I think I was training for a half Ironman. So that summer was focusing on that. And then by the fall, I was racing a marathon. What was it? September. Then I think I paced Detroit that year. And then I had New York City that I qualified for and had that race. And honestly, by the time I got to New York, I was burnt out. There were other life stresses. I was like, I was done. And I honestly took like my first running break, but that wasn't like injury related, but I needed it just mentally. It was too much. So I've learned my limit for sure.
How long was that? How long was that break after that one in New York?
I took a couple. It wasn't until I think maybe Christmas. I felt like I'm like, I should run on Christmas. So I took a couple months off because New York the beginning of November. So I took a couple months off, which was needed.
So you didn't completely stop running. It was just the distance, or did you just say, no, I'm just taking running off for the next couple of months?
Yeah, I completely stopped running for like a couple months. I mean, we had a dog, so I still walked the dog and lifted weights or maybe rode a bike. I'm still active in other ways, just not running.
Well, I think this is a good segue too into the mental, I guess, challenge. One thought just hearing you speak, Jesse, is why is the marathon like your go-to race? Is it because it gives you just enough challenge with the distance? Or, you know, why not do half marathons where you could do twice as many, you know, in a year?
I have thought about that. I always feel like I'm in shape for a half, that I could easily crank those out. But I like the challenge. I think I like the grind of the marathon training, even though it is a lot. And it takes away weekends, like the long runs. But once I'm like done with the marathon, I'm like, oh, I do like the grind. I like the routine. I like the mileage that I'm putting in. Mm-hmm. So it is mental. I like the push. I still want to improve. So I'm not where I'm at in the marathon. I got to keep going.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. I like that. So someone may be listening to this, maybe thinking, what are you doing? Like, you're taking all your weekends away. Michigan football is actually really good the last couple of years. So you have, you know, you're missing out potentially on that or family stuff. What would you tell someone about the importance of the grind or the mental challenge that we need to create in our lives?
I think if you can structure your days to fit in what you enjoy and what's important to you. So yes, running is important to me. Being there for my kids. We do have season football tickets, so that needs to fit in as well. My husband goes to more than I do, but that is important. Yeah. But it does require a lot of juggling and flexibility with my running schedule. So maybe I do my long run on a Friday and I'm up by 4 a.m. to get it done. So I like to be home when my kids are awake, at least during the week, to get them ready for school kind of thing. So there are early mornings. And even on the weekends, I do try to be back maybe by breakfast time on the weekend. So for me, I guess I'm sacrificing my early mornings. I do try to get 7 hours of sleep, though, at least. So there are things that I give up that I'm not staying up late and spending as much time as I like with my husband so I can get enough sleep to get up and run. But I do want to spend the time with my kids as well. So it's a lot of juggling and figuring out what's important to you. And I know it's just a season, because now that I'm not marathon training now, I can obviously spend more time with them. So,
I like that. That's good too, that, you know, there are different seasons in life. And I think there's something important about, you know, challenging ourselves, because what you just said, like about the half marathon, you're always in shape for the half. So that seems a little bit too easy for you, but the marathon is just enough push. And I think there's something that is so important for people to have and to be able to even find. It may not be running. It could be something else. It could be weightlifting or whatever the case may be, but finding something that kind of pushes us to those outer limits, because it gets really easy, especially like in the fall season now, it's getting cold. You know, you got all the different pumpkin lattes and all the muffins and all those things. Just kind of say, you know what, I'm just going to kind of sit back and relax and kind of take it easy. And then before you know it, you know, you're starting all over again. So I love that kind of mindset. And we talk a lot about mindset on the podcast as well. That's what I'm learning running this marathon. So I've signed up for one December 16th in Irving. It's the Irving Frost Marathon. So one of the things that I've seen, Jesse, for me, and just thinking about this more in life, when I was a junior in high school, I had this English class, and we had to make a journal. And one of the assignments was to write out 25 things you want to do. So I kept that journal. I still have it. And
that's awesome.
I don't know when I looked back at it, but I was running cross country at the time. So one of the things on the list was break 18 minutes in the 5K. And I was like, oh, 6 seconds off. Run across the United States.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. But I think
not Forrest Gumping it, this?
Yeah. Forrest Gump, I think, was out at that time. So this is like 1995. So I was like, yes, I want to run across the United States. But I also had run and finish a marathon.
Okay.
But I never did it. And so kind of looking back, I've noticed these patterns in my life about with these lists. And so I'm like, I need to do this. I'm 45 and we've had some health issues in our family with our moms and things like that. And I was like, you know, life is short and it is hard just thinking about 26.2. I was on Instagram and somebody had made some video of the Chicago Marathon and just showing the route of it. And it's like, that looks like it's going to take forever. So there's something mental about that. That's been one of the biggest things I've seen for myself, just the mental challenge. There's something good about, what are you made of? Can I do a little bit more? Like what your coach was yelling at you back in your soccer days, keep going, keep pushing. And a lot of times that's scary to do, but there's so many rewards on the other side.
Oh, definitely. I think you're going to do great. Yeah.
Well,
I appreciate mental strength. I feel like it's a lot of mental strength and
it is
only part of it's physical. You can do the physical part, I feel like.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Talk to us a little bit about your systems. By that, I mean, you're waking up early if you need to at 4 a.m. You know, what other systems do you have in place to be at your most optimal that's helping you to, you know, complete 24 marathons and 5Ks and 10Ks and triathletes? What other systems can you share with the audience or tips or strategies that can help people who are looking to do the same?
I do like a routine. I think that's been big for me. So I have my clothes laid out. I run in the morning because that's the only time that I have to run. So fit that in your schedule. But yeah, I have my clothes laid out. So as soon as my alarm goes off, I can get up, put my clothes on, go run, and do my strength training real quick. And I food prep things like for the day. So I quickly have breakfast ready, lunch ready, and even for the kids, their lunch is ready. So I feel like I have too much of a go, go, go mentality that so I can just quickly grab things and keep going, move on to like the next activity, get the kids up. And we like to keep them active and maybe we're in too many sports for them as well. But then it's just preparing like in the evenings for the next day and just keeping a schedule. I feel like having it more like routine and more of a habit has helped more. I'll be honest. I'm not saying every day I'm motivated to go run. Maybe the weather's not looking good, but just once you have like a habit, you're like, oh, I know I feel better when I do this in the morning and have it done and out of the way. Like I like lists as well. So if I can check something off, we're going to do it.
Yeah. Well, there's something about habits. I don't know if you've read the book Atomic Habits. I know
I did actually.
Yeah. It's a popular book and there's something about habits and routines. And sometimes I think people may look at certain habits and say, well, you know, this is kind of boring or there's not a lot of spontaneity or whatever. But, you know, if we just keep stacking on top of those habits, it is pretty amazing what can be accomplished. And our minds can play a lot of tricks on us about, no, don't worry about this, just kind of live in the moment. And there's certainly moments to do that. But you do have to create these habits, because if you're running at four Are you getting up then like at 3 o'clock or what? 3:30 or what?
So I have a thing where I'm like, I don't want to wake up before 4 a.m. I set my alarm for 4:02. Oh, but okay. I can usually be ready in like 15, 20 minutes to be out the door by then. Like I'll eat some graham crackers real quick and head on out for my run. So
very cool. Talk to us a little bit about adversity. If I remember correctly, on your Instagram page, you were scheduled to do the Minneapolis Marathon. Have you run there before in Minneapolis? Was that going to be another state you're going to check off?
That was going to be another state. Yeah, I was going to get to check that off. So,
tell the audience what happened with the race and where are you currently mentally with what happened and, you know, handling that adversity?
So this was on October 1st. I was supposed to run the Twin Cities Marathon. So it was going from Minneapolis to St. Paul. It was a point-to-point marathon. And so the week before, so in September, they sent out an email like, oh, the weather's going to be hot. We're going to keep an eye on this. So yeah, the start of the race, the marathon starts at 8 a.m. And they also do a 10-mile that starts at 7 a.m. So I think at 8 a.m. it was going to be high 60s for the race, which is uncomfortable, but could still be done. So during the week, they were very open with communication. They're like, oh, it's weather's still looking hot. They actually made it like a red flag. So like, don't run if you feel like you can't. Just a warning kind of thing. So I feel like we got that early in the week. So they were fully aware of the weather. So I flew out on Friday to go to the race, got a hotel rental car for the weekend. And so there's still communication, like, yeah, we think the race will still go on, go to the expo. That's where you like pick up your bib and new shirt or, and spend a bunch of money on any other running finalia that you need. Mm-hmm. So got that all checked off, even like drove the course. And Saturday, they're still saying, yeah, we think it will go on, but we get like an evening email. They're like, oh, we'll let you know. Well, I think at 8:30 PM, they were like, okay, we'll let you know at 8:30 PM if the race will still go on. And at 8:30, they said, yeah, we think it's still go on. We'll send an email in the morning just to be sure. So come, I was already asleep at this point, to be honest. So I didn't even see this until I woke up at like 5:15 AM the next day. So I see this, I'm like, oh shoot. Well, 5:15, I'm like, well, I should normally be eating right now. Should I be eating, like getting ready? Like, so I got ready as normal because I don't want to be behind on my fueling schedule for the day. And come 5:30 a.m., they announce that the race is canceled. So I was pretty upset, disappointed at most of the day, I'll be honest. I'm like, well, what's the point? Do I even go to the start? Because I did go outside just to figure out, and there are other runners like, well, and we're all obviously talking like, well, don't go to the buses. They thought I was going to get a ride to the start of the race because I was near the finish. Like, we can't go. They closed down transportation. So at this point I was like, well, I might as well see if I can get a flight home early. Cause what am I going to do? There's like, I'm already away from my family. My mom did come with me on this trip. So I guess in a way, like, we did have an enjoyable weekend in Minneapolis, but without the race, I just kind of felt like it was pointless. We were like luckily able to fly home and get a flight. Cause the concern was with the race, it was going to be like mid 80s by the time it finished, which is obviously a concern in rough conditions to run in, but they were already preparing, saying that they're going to have extra water tables. And I was ready to prepare with electrolytes. So if runners were smart, we could have prepared ahead, or even I felt we could have started the race earlier with the 10 milers or something. Mm-hmm. So we weren't running as late in the day, but so it took a while. And I got home and my husband let me go for a run. Cause I'm like, I need to do something. Like, I was supposed to run today. Like, I was still upset. I'm supposed to be like hot and sweaty and gross right now. I don't feel any of that. So he let me go run, and I will be honest, it was probably high 70s. A friend ran with me and it was warm. Not that I was prepared. Like, I would have prepared as well for this afternoon run. So I was like, well, maybe it might not have been good if I did run this marathon in the heat. I really don't do well running in the heat. So I'm impressed with your Texas training and the heat for your marathon.
Yeah.
But so it took me a good 24 hours to be like, well, I think it was more like, okay, well, I just wasted all this time and money, this whole training cycle. Like, I felt really good. I already accepted the fact that it wouldn't be a fast race just because of the heat. I was going to adapt. I wasn't going to try to go for my A goal anymore. but I kind of had to accept it. I knew my October was busy. I wasn't going to try to force another race into my schedule. So yeah. I just know I can build upon this for my next one.
Yeah.
It took some time, but it was all meant to be for a reason.
Yeah. Well, I think running is such a great metaphor, I guess, for life at times. You know, there's setbacks. Sometimes things will go fast. Sometimes things will go slow. There's disappointments with that. There's such a big investment just listening to you too in any race. And that's something I'm trying to wrap my mind around. I mean, there's preparation, there's months of preparation, there's airline, there's travel, there's hotel, there's sleep, there's family sacrifice. And so, you know, for that, just boom, you know, you're not going to do it. Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah.
And so, but you feel like you've kind of moved past it and kind of resolved it and are just kind of moving forward.
I think so. And Twin Cities Marathon have even sent out an email that they'll mail us some medals, but I'm like, I didn't do it though. I don't want the medal if I didn't do it. So
yeah.
I mean, I did a quick like search if there are other marathons I could hit up for states, but I just, it's just time away from the family at this point. Like the rest of this fall is very busy, then holidays. So sometimes you got to cut your losses and
I have plans
for next year.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Sometimes you got to cut your losses. That's a good mindset. And there's going to be days like that for sure. I want to hear more about your plans for next year. But first, I think I heard you say you had an A goal for that race.
Yeah.
Do you have multiple goals? So an A goal or a B goal? Talk to us about that a little bit.
I do. So I usually have an A goal and I do work with my coach on this. We do like a race strategy to work through it. So we usually have like an A goal for like, if everything goes well, like where your fitness is at, this is what we think we can do.
Mm-hmm.
So we obviously do a pacing for that. Then I usually have a B goal. Like if I'm not quite feeling, cause sometimes like marathons don't go as planned, like maybe travel tiredness or didn't feel as well or didn't sleep well, we might go step down a little bit slower for a B goal. If things aren't feeling right, like usually decide around like the half marathon point, like if I can push it more or if we're just going to hold kind of thing for a B goal. And then we like to have like a C goal more for like gratitude, like you're healthy, you're at the race, like just have fun. Sometimes not every race is going to be a PR race, whether it's the course conditions, the weather. Sometimes you just have to accept like this is fun. You're healthy enough to do this. So I like also having that and just like the reality of running.
That I love that. I had not thought of something like that. An A goal, B goal, C goal. If you hit all three of them, that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But even if you don't hit all three, you're still essentially setting yourself up to win or in some shape or form. I love that. I had not thought about that. I need to do that. So for me, I'll tell you this. I'm not trying to go after, well, I guess any, whatever my time is, it
you're
going to
PR. Exactly.
It will be my PR. Yeah. So
exactly.
I'm already winning.
Uh-huh.
And, now, one of my challenges, and maybe you can speak to this a little bit. So I didn't really start. I started back in August. So I loved running in high school and even in college. I went to the University of Illinois. So I remember running on the quad sometimes at night back then. You know, we had the Walkman on, and it was just so much fun. There's always something enjoyable with running. I can remember when I think I was in high school and the first Mission Impossible had come out with Tom Cruise, and I had bought the cassette tape, you know, just with the music.
I'd run
to one of the schools in the neighborhood. So it's always been something enjoyable for me. The last couple of years, I definitely have shifted away from running. I started doing a lot more walking and things like that. But a buddy of mine, we said, okay, let's set up a challenge. We'll run 2 miles every day, you know, for a month. And I said, okay. So we did that. So that really got me back into it. And then I was just thinking about life. Saw one of those lists that I had made. I was like, I got to do this. And so, you know, went to the website to sign up for the marathon, found a novice plan online. So I've just been following that. I have done a couple of half marathons. So for me though, one of the challenges I have had here, and I try to run in the morning, because it's been really hot in Texas this past summer. But like, if I'll do like a 10-mile run, I've done, I did a half marathon last week as part of the training, 13.1. Mm-hmm. Some of these runs, you know, I'm dropping like 10 pounds, like before and after. So, you know, I use None, N-U-U-N for hydration. Yeah. I've been using Body Armor and things like that. But that's been one of the biggest challenges. I was actually thinking too, and I don't know if people do this, but I'm drenched like head to toe. And I'm like, how am I supposed to do this for 26 miles? You know, I'm soggy and all wet, you know, so I'll come home and change shirts, but I'll go through like two or three. Can you change clothes like during a race? And, you know, what tips or strategies do you have for hydrating and things like that?
I mean, if you would like to step off to the side, you are welcome to change your clothes. Just make sure your bib is attached on your new clothes, however you want to switch it. I can't say I've seen that. I've seen people shed clothes, though. Feel free to change if you want. But yeah, for fueling, I like to carry a handheld with me. I have done a hydration vest before, but I felt like I train with a hydration vest just because, yes, it's hot. Our summer was warm too, but I don't know if all races do allow that. I haven't looked at Irvine's marathon site, but at least then you'll have it all on you. But I like to carry a handheld because I tend to take gels every like 30 minutes or at least every 30 minutes. So most of my gels, like I need to take water or something with them. Unless you're taking like a Martin gel or you don't necessarily need hydration, but when I take my gel, there's not necessarily an aid station when I take my gel at 30 minutes. So I use my handheld to take it with my gel, but then I grab water or if there's a Gatorade at like every aid station to try to stay hydrated and take something in, especially if it's warm, you want to be hydrating and fueling early and often. Mm-hmm. I have learned that I carry like a smoothie straw with me. So it's easier to drink out of the cups because I feel like I just spill them on me at this point. I still haven't quite mastered that. But the straw has been working.
I like that idea. That's good. Yeah. That's something I want to try to do too. So I'm running and walking, you know, because right now I'm just trying to get the mental component down.
Oh yeah. It's a long distance.
It is a long distance. And I, you know, I see different things on Instagram. What are your thoughts with running and walking? Is that something you do or is part of your goals to run all the way through?
So from the start, I've had a goal like to run the whole way through. I feel like recently with warm races, I've found that I've had to walk water stations, which I think is fine. I have athletes that do run walk. I am all for it. However, we can find like an interval that works for you. Like you're still completing the distance. You are putting that time on your feet and I can still consider, even if you're walking, you're still a runner, you're getting this done. I'm not opposed to that. I obviously put my own like mental like pushes on myself, but yes, I've even walked races or had to walk on hills kind of thing if it's too much. But sometimes even the change in pace I find is beneficial to keep going, because I found like even on flat races, like your legs just get tired if it's flat. You don't even have any elevation changes to change paces, like even stopping to walk, or if you do like a quick stride like or a sprint kind of thing, just changing the paces can help you keep going with running. I found so.
No, that's good. That's good. Yeah. So this one that I'm going to do, Lord willing, is it's a flat course. I just had a question I was going to ask you, and I totally left it. I do have another question. How do you run? Do you run with music, without music, and thoughts on that? So I like listening to music. I saw someone on YouTube talking about this or some podcast. And I said, you know what, I'm going to try not listening to music. That's how, I mean, going back to Mission Impossible when I was in high school, I'm listening to Mission Impossible, sprinting down the street. It's a different kind of challenge with no music. I definitely have noticed that. What's your philosophy on that?
So I do not race with music. I do not race with anything. I am in my head. I am focused. When I started running, I did listen to music. And then I just went a very long time with listening to nothing. Now for like easy runs, I'll do like a podcast or an audio book. Cause like you, I know you like reading. That's like the only time I have time to read now is like if I listen to it, I don't have time to sit like I used to. But so I'll do that on easy runs. But I make sure on my long runs or speed work days, like I don't listen to anything so I can focus. Like how am I breathing? How am I feeling during this? Practicing pushing through any pain that I'm feeling, like for long runs kind of thing. So I just want to be in the zone. And plus with races, you kind of want to hear the atmosphere. If there's like cheering and spectators, like be in the moment. And then you get lost in your head, kind of like pushing through for races. So yeah, races, I do not listen to anything. I have made the mistake once. I did try music. It was like one of my first races back after COVID. I'm like, you know what? I'll try music. And either I'm not good at putting playlists together, but the songs were not at the right spot in the race. And it just did not help me. I'm like, well, this just did not work. So I think I needed Mission Impossible on there. That might have helped.
Yeah, that's right. I think I need to bring that back. I haven't listened to it in a long time. Do you carry your phone then? Like when you race, like, you know.
I do carry my phone in hopes that anyone cares to track me or something.
Yeah.
But nice. Just, and if I do have any friends with me, like I can find them after. I don't know. I have this fear I'm going to get lost or something. Cause I'm like traveling to places I don't live. Obviously it's one thing if I'm going to go do Detroit Marathon, that's right here, but I need like a Google. I get lost. So I need to know where to go after. So I do carry my phone.
Gotcha. With me. Gotcha. So you're a coach. I like what your coach told, you know, set up for you, the different goals, A, B, C. You're not listening to music. You want to be in. You want to be in your thoughts. Feel your body. What's going on? You mentioned at the beginning of our conversation. You know, hopefully you have a mantra. What other tips or strategy are you sharing with your clients? And what can you share with us, like with the mental side of training? So you can get a schedule. You can have everything laid out. But the mental component, the mental games, whatever you want to call it, silencing the mind at times, there's so many thoughts that flow through. Some are good, some are bad. How are you, I guess, kind of helping your clients or navigating them? And what can you share to the audience with the mental side of training?
Sure, I can definitely share about the mental side. So I like to have like variety in our training. So like we're going to have our easy runs, we're going to recover. So those can be fun, lighthearted kind of thing. But I do like to have some like workouts where we'll do some goal pace work and even put some in our long run sometimes if we do have a time goal, like if we're just to finish, like I want us to get used to time on our feet kind of thing. But I like to have us kind of reflect back on our training. Like when I go over like my race strategy calls, like, oh, let's talk about this long run. Like, look how long you were at pace work, and trying to talk through it. Like, I know you can do this, because even when I do like race planning, I kind of like to start us off a bit at an easier pace, more comfortable before we actually get into goal pace. So it's kind of like we're warming up into the race. And plus the fact before the race, like you're carb loading, you're putting less miles on your feet, like that week leading week or two or three. I usually have a 3 week taper, but leading into the race. So your legs are going to be more fresh. So just building on that, because even during like your long training runs, usually you have like the cumulative fatigue, like because you're running more days during the week, you're running back to back days or something. So your legs are tired when you're doing those long runs. But during the race, like your legs should feel fresh. So that's going to be completely different. Cause I know some of my athletes, and sometimes even myself, I was like, how am I going to hit those paces kind of thing when I'm so used to doing like easy runs. But just looking back on what you've done that training cycle and all the miles that you put in, and now like the race is the celebration. You get to show off all that hard work and just know you can do it. And like, just have the confidence, like respect the training that you had. And that'll help push through that you can do this. You train for this and just do your best and have fun kind of thing. But
yeah, no, I like that. The idea of the race itself being the celebration and respecting what you've done. That's great. It is a lot of time. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of energy to just do it. So the day before a race, Jesse, I guess since you're traveling to different states, you're already there at the race location the day before.
I try to be, yes.
Yeah. You try to be. What's your, walk us, what does that look like the day before? With eating, with your mindset, with relaxing, what are you doing leading up to that, to the day of celebration?
Yes. Lately, I feel like as I'm getting older, I need like an extra day of travel before the race. But I don't know, back like in my 20s, I could just day before go run and go home. But yeah, wow. I definitely pack all of my food. It's a lot of bagels or sandwiches, carb snacks. I just make sure to have all of my food ready because on the plane, so you can be eating and hydrating for sure. So yeah, I usually fly out, have everything in my backpack or whatever, all my race clothes, just so I know I'm ready. I have my shoes, food, and I like to get in at least early so I can go to the expo and then hopefully chill for the rest of the day. And I like to find a nice, I like pizza for my pre-race food.
Yeah, nice. So
I like to find a good restaurant for pizza, call it an early night, and yeah, just have my clothes laid out so I'm ready for the early morning kind of thing. Yeah. So it's usually revolved around a lot of food.
Gotcha. No, that's all good. So you basically have figured out, I would imagine, like the right amount of food, right? So are you, what are you doing? Like, are you eating a large pizza, small pizza, two slices? What does that actually look like?
So I used to calorie count and now I've definitely stepped away for that. That's like a mental trigger for me, but yeah. I just try to have like more. So like every meal is going to have a carb. I'm sure I have like a bagel egg sandwich in the morning. I'll have like a PB&J bagel sandwich later. Mm. My snacks are pretty much just carbs. And I mean, I still try to like listen to hunger kind of thing as well. I don't want to be overly stuffed. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can eat 3-4 pizza slices if I want, but I also want to sleep well the next day. So I usually limit to 2 or 3.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, I still try to go to hunger, but want to be full and satisfied. And I try to do it early enough that I can like still go to bed and let it digest for more food in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Very nice. Caffeine? You drink or consume
caffeine? I don't actually. I do not drink coffee or caffeine. Nice. I feel like I should start though. At this point, I'm like, days are getting long.
Has that always been the case or was that a conscious decision at some point or what?
I mean, I don't know who actually likes coffee, but I've just never liked it. I don't like the smell. So I'm like, well, it's not really worth it. Like if I had to put a ton of sugar in it anyway to make it taste good, yeah, I just can't do it. So I'm like, I don't need another appliance in my house.
Gotcha. What would you say to the person listening who is debating or maybe even scared of just the idea of running, much less a marathon? What thoughts or recommendations would you have for them?
I think you just have to want to get started. Like if you want to make a change, I know it's all like personal. It's very hard to motivate someone else to do something, but obviously there's a season, nice season for running. Sometimes summer is too hot. Maybe winter is too cold. Just find a time or a schedule that can work for you to get out. Just have a good pair of running shoes. I just feel like it's just so easy to get out for a run. All you need is a good pair of shoes, some comfortable clothes, and you can go. And there's just so many people outside. I live in a subdivision and it's just nice seeing people out there. Maybe I just feel like runners are just such nice people or something, but I just feel like there's always someone you can run with or willing to get out. And it can be good, like team and like socializing too. I like to run with friends in the neighborhood. It's a good way to get together, I feel like, and still be active in a way. So whatever's going to motivate you to get out, to get started, grab a friend.
Yeah. I think very cool. You said you love all things Disney. Obviously, you can see I'm a big Marvel fan.
I do see that.
Iron Man fan. What's your favorite Disney show or character? You said all things Disney.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I just love going to Disney World. My honeymoon was the Dopey Challenge, where you run like a 5K, a 10K, half and a full.
Oh, that is sweet.
Yes. My husband did the half with me. He's like, I will not get up early for the other ones for you. But let's see.
So wait, was that 4 days in a row then or what?
Yes. Like,
oh, that is so cool.
It's very cool. I'm a huge Mickey Mouse fan. He's my favorite. Yeah. I still want him to call me so I can come work with him. But but favorite show. I like Lion King still. I'm a Little Mermaid fan as well. So those are always good. The classics. Nice. I do like the new ones. My kids obviously like Frozen and the new stuff, but no, I like the classics still.
Very cool. Yeah, I got into Iron Man because I have a heart condition, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and I had to get a defibrillator in 2010. So I was 30 when I got the defibrillator. So I don't think I was watching Marvel at that time. I never really grew up with comic books. But Iron Man, then Iron Man 2 came out. And that's really where I Can Do came from. The acronym for the device is ICD. So I had to try to figure out, I had to figure out, you know, how do I wrap my mind around having a piece of metal? I'm on my second device right now. So Tony Stark, you know, I don't have $1 billion, all the technology. I'm married to one woman, unlike him with a lot of different people, but I like the idea, you know, he had that piece of metal in his chest. And, so that I kind of have that connection, but, so I started really getting into Marvel, I guess around that time or a couple of years after, and it's kept on growing. So that's
I love hearing that story. And look at you're gonna run a marathon. That's awesome. I'm very happy for you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I've been listening to Audible. Just a couple more questions, we'll wrap up. Any book recommendations that you have? Audible, regular books, whatever it may be.
Oh yeah. I'm a huge Colleen Hoover fan. I love her. Love her books. It might be too romantic. I mean, she has some nice, like, she has some good ones. But my favorite one of hers this year was Heart Bones that I read. So that was a good one.
Okay.
I really liked The Winners. It's by Frederick Backman. So it's like kind of a hockey in Bear Town. It's a series. So that was a good one this year. Mm. And I guess for running, like autobiographies, I'm a huge Des Linden fan, so she's now a master. She just got the Masters World Record in Chicago this past weekend, but her book came out this year, Choosing to Run. So I'm a big fan of hers. I've gotten to meet her once. I was very excited.
Oh, really? Very cool.
Yeah, but yeah, those are some good ones. And I do like murder mysteries as well. So A Good Girl's Guide to Murder by Holly Jackson was a good one. But some of them, I feel like when I'm reading those, when I'm running in the dark, I'm like, oh my God, something's around me. I might need to save those for different days. But
those are afternoon books. That's exactly right. Well, you know, you do run in the dark. What's your protocol? I mean, do you have fears with that?
Run with my dog. So I think that does help me feel a bit more comfortable that no one's going to jump me with the dog or anything. But I do have like a light up vest, and my dog actually has a light up vest too when we run. So we're seen at least for cars and whatnot. But I mean, I try to stay where things are lit once we're out of the sub and where I feel comfortable as well.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of different things, you know, with that. I typically try to run when it's light outside, but. But you got to do what you got to do, especially with the time frame and things like that. Do you train on a treadmill at all?
The weather has to be terrible, icy condition for me to be on the treadmill. We have one in the basement, but I prefer to be outside. I will do whatever I can to be outside. Layers, hat, rain jacket.
One last question. What's your relationship with the scale? I'm asking this question because I'm in the process of losing weight. So I'm kind of looking at September, October, November. I want to get this first marathon in. I went to your website with coaching, and I know you're not helping clients with that, like with weight loss, but more with fueling and things like that. What's your personal relationship with the scale? Are you getting on the scale? How often do you get on the scale? You know, when you carb load, obviously that's going to hold some more water and stuff in.
Yeah.
Walk us through that here real quickly.
I have like a love hate relationship with the scale. I think I was too obsessed with it when I did start running. Cause when I started, I did want to lose weight. I felt like during college, just all this food, you were eating too much. But so yeah, starting off, I was like obsessed with the scale. I needed to lose weight, and I did. lose a lot. And I think that caused issues with like underfueling and injuries. So once I worked through that, I'll be honest, I do still weigh every day, but I don't let the number like define me really anymore. It's more like, okay, I would just want to maintain kind of thing. I make sure I'm not gaining too much, because obviously you need to eat a lot when you're training for a marathon in order to have your body able to get through that. I don't track calories or anything anymore, just eat to hunger. But I have the scale just to make sure I'm not gaining too much kind of thing, just more for awareness. But yeah, just listening to my body too. Kind of thing. So I've definitely learned with like feeling better. I feel better with running. My weight does fluctuate depending on where we're at in training kind of thing, but yeah, that's where I'm at with the scale.
No, I've been weighing every day too. I didn't always used to do that, but I had a big sticker shock when I got on the scale January 8th this year. I was like, what is going on? It was just being undisciplined. And especially with this fall season, that's another reason why I'm doing the marathon, because I gained 17 pounds last fall and I can't keep doing that. And just got, you know, things can just slip out of control really fast. So just something to keep me zoned in with that. So I've started doing it every day for the most part, unless I'm traveling. And that's really helped me out. And it's really cool seeing the weekly averages, or even just experimenting with what's a water loss that I'm going through or having. And so that kind of gives you a better idea of what's actually taking place. So yeah, it can play a lot of tricks with the mind. For sure, you know, but just seeing, okay, I can gain 2 or 3 pounds or drop 2 or 3 pounds, you know, so it just kind of puts everything into perspective. So people have to figure that out once a week, 3 times a month, you know, try to find some kind of average to just so they know, you know, where they're at. So, yeah. Well, Coach Jesse, this has been an absolute blast. This is the first time we've ever talked. Thank you so much for trusting me to come onto the podcast and to accept my invitation. I've learned a lot from you, and love your spirit, love your energy, and you're crushing it with 24 marathons. So can't wait to see when you hit all 50. Final thoughts for the audience.
No, this was a lot of fun. And I hope everyone can find something that they can enjoy and what I can do, whatever is for them. Not everyone's going to be a runner. Not everyone's going to enjoy Disney things, but what is for them. So I hope everyone can find that kind of joy in their life. And I'm wishing you good luck on your marathon journey. I'll be following along and cheering for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you all for listening. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of I Can Do. Stay strong, keep moving forward, keep that I Can Do mentality. And if you can, leave me a review and a rating so that this podcast can be heard by as many people as possible, and so that others can be encouraged as well. Take care and God bless.